Oh, what an eventful morning. Welcome to the service this morning. I hope that you've come with high expectations. I think God has something in store because things are a bit different in the way that I've prepared. I don't normally have everything typed out, but I have this morning for some strange reason. But God knows what he's doing. Our call to worship. We gather this morning, humble sinners who have been saved by your grace. We lay aside all the worries and concerns of the past week, and we give to you the unknowns of this coming week. And at this time, in this moment, we focus our hearts and our minds on you. We aim to lift you high above all things and ask that you would move freely amongst us. Amen. So we're going to sing our first song together. Lord, I lift your name on high. Your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save. Difficult to know which songs to choose. I go to my history, I've got so many song books and hymns and stuff in my mind. I sort of assume that everybody knows all the ones that I do. And sometimes I pick songs and people look at me and go, "Never heard that before." And then so other times I pick hymns, and when you get to a church and they play it, and I stand and think, "Well, that wasn't the tune I was thinking it was going to be." So, but it is great to come together to worship. And like I said in our call to worship, that we focus our hearts and our minds upon God. It's not about the person standing up here preaching. It's not about who you're in the room with. This is some time in your week between you and us and God. And so we ask God, don't we, to move amongst us, and to challenge us by what we're singing, what we're hearing from his word, and what we're going to hear in the sermon. So, scene setting. I think today I get worried. I don't know how many of you use Facebook or YouTube or anything like that, but now with this wonderful new development, there's so much stuff on that's done by AI. And you read things and you think, what? Or you watch videos of something and you look, and a lot of it is AI. So we can't trust necessarily what's being said or shown to us on the internet, or
just because something is being said by somebody we think is in power or is an intelligent person, we can't always take their word for everything. But in life, we're always looking for the truth, aren't we? We all want to know what the truth is. Pilate asked Jesus, didn't he, when Jesus was being tried by him, Pilate asked him, well, what is truth? And a good illustration of this is up until, I don't know when it was, when they discovered it, but people believed the world was flat. There are still people today that believe the world is flat, called flat earthers. There are still, but people believed that the world was flat. And to them, that was the truth, because they had no other way of being able to prove one way or the other. But the truth is, the world has always been round. It's always been a sphere. The fact that we couldn't prove it, the fact that we couldn't see it, the fact that there was no way of showing that, and we might believe that the world was flat because what we see is sort of like a disc in front of us, the truth hasn't changed, even though our understanding of the truth has changed, because now we have the technology to see that the earth is a globe. And truths are like that sometimes. We understand things in a particular way. And the more we go through life, the more we investigate things, or the more science comes into play, I would say in our heads, we would say the truth has changed. But in reality, it's not the truth that has changed. The truth is the truth. The truth has always been the truth, and the truth doesn't change. Our understanding changes. So we search for what we call the truth, and we find things throughout our searches and our life and stuff like that. Children understand things in a very, very simplistic way. And I wish we could all go back to being children. Our understanding of, so I was talking to somebody yesterday, this is nothing to do with truth, I was just talking about something yesterday, and I said, the thing is, you know, we all say when we're at school, we want to be an adult. I want to get out there. I want to earn. I want to be able to go and do this and do that. And then we become adults. How many of you adults ever say to yourselves, oh, I wish I was back at school. Wish I was a kid again. Yeah, I do. And do you know why? As a child, you got up in the morning. Your breakfast was provided for you. You went to school. You did a 6.5-hour day. You came home. You threw your bag through the door, shouted to your mum, or I did in my case, going down Dave's. And off we went. My mum had no idea who Dave was or where Dave lived. We had no mobile phones. But as a child, in my childhood, you don't have any concern. I hadn't got to come home and think, what am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to cook tonight? How am I going to pay that bill? What have I got to do about this situation? When do I have to pay for this? You know, as a child, it was just get up, have your breakfast, that's provided, go to school, have your lunch, get home, have your dinner, go out, play at Dave's, come home and then go to bed. It was so carefree. It's wonderful being a child. But the truth is, we have to grow up and we have to face life in all its realities. So truth doesn't change, our understanding changes. And we're going to look at this a little bit later in the story we're going to look at in our reading. So we're going to sing again first. We're going to sing, What Gift of Grace is Jesus My Redeemer? And then I'm going to read our passage to you today. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy and righteousness and freedom. My steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this hour, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley. He will lead. On the night has been won, and I shall. Suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and evermore in my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day, till I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, I'll my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, and my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
I love those words at the end of the chorus there. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. And a verse that's often quoted by people is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is absolutely true. It doesn't mean that you can fly or you can walk on water necessarily, but if God wanted you to do it, through Christ, you can do it. And that's putting that phrase, that verse, in perspective, isn't it? Keeping things where they should be. So our reading today is from the Gospel of John. And it's John 3, verses 1 to 17. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a good teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Said Nicodemus. Surely they can't enter again into their mother's womb to be born. I think their mum might have something to say about that. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, he said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Said Nicodemus. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and yet you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we do not know, and we testify to what we have seen. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. So how then can you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we're going to sing once more, and then I'm going to try and share some thoughts around or based on that reading. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free.
Do
So just before I launch into the message, we just need to inform you, Charles has been taken to the hospital. He's okay, but if you can just remember him in your prayers this afternoon, all right, and throughout your meetings, so just remember him. And if you feel like it later on, perhaps give him a call, just check how he is, to see how he's doing. All right, so he's okay, and that's good news. He's in the care of the ambulance service and the care now of long-term residency in A&E. So Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, a man who we naturally would look to for understanding and learning. But he's a man, although he's educated, is a man searching for the truth. I don't know about yourselves, I don't ever regard myself as being particularly clever. I'm not that intelligent. I left school with a couple of CSEs. I even got some grade ones. That's not bad going, is it? I went to evening classes and got myself a couple of O levels. I went to college to study A levels and failed abysmally. So my highest educational level are O levels. For those of you who are younger than me, that's I've got some GCSEs. But for those of you who are my age or older, you understand O levels and A levels and stuff. I'm not a particularly clever person, and I've said this to you before. My natural place is not up the front. My natural place is hiding away in a corner. But God, as we've just sung in Amazing Grace, God has called me, and he's called me with his plan and his purpose. And sometimes when I'm reading scripture, he gives me understanding of something that maybe helps some people. Nicodemus was a very intelligent man, and he must have been an intelligent man because he was one of the teachers of the law. People looked to him for understanding. Not everybody in those days was educated. So people would look to the Pharisees and the Sadducees to teach them what the law of Moses was all about and what it really meant. So for Nicodemus to sneak out in the dark to go to Jesus, who was a bit of a controversial character, and meet with him means that Nicodemus had something in his heart that said he wanted to learn something. There is a truth here, I think, that he's saying, there's a truth here that I'm not understanding. So he comes to Jesus and he says, we recognize that you are from God. So he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that the things that Jesus did, he did under God's authority and with the power and under the Spirit's guidance of God. And Nicodemus recognizes that. But he's in such a tricky situation that he has to come to Jesus while it's dark. He has to come in secret. So I didn't print these slides out, so I've got to keep looking here to see what my next bit is. And I think Nicodemus is a man who needed more than mere religion. How many people talk to you when you say, I'm a Christian, and they go, oh, I didn't know you were religious. You were religious. Would you say you're religious? I say to people when they say that to me, I say, I'm not religious. I say, religion doesn't save you. I can religiously wash my car every Sunday. That doesn't save me. I can religiously go to McDonald's every Saturday. That doesn't save me. I'm not religious. I believe what the Bible says. I believe the truth that is in the scriptures. And much to some people's amazement, this is where my non-intelligence comes in. I believe the Bible. I'm a literalist. I take the Bible at face value. So Genesis chapter 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth and everything. And over 6 days, God created everything that we know as the universe. Do you know what? I don't have a problem with that. If God can speak it all into being, why did it take him so long? But he was setting into motion patterns. The 7-day week. Work 6 days. Take 1 day a week to rest. And I know I've probably said this to you before. I think I might have even mentioned it last time I was here. But if you follow the decline of the nation's mental health over the past 20, 30 years, since we started 7-day shop opening and 7-day this and that, and we have to work all hours and work has to become the centre of our life, the mental health of our nation is dropping. Why? Because we've taken away the pattern that God sent, which was take one day in seven to rest. We don't get a chance to rest. The truth is written down in the Bible. It doesn't mean it has to be a Sunday, but we should all take one day in seven where we can relax. It doesn't mean you have to sit down and do nothing. It means you can do something that relaxes you. If you're a gardener, like my wife, she goes in the garden and she spends a couple of hours in there. And she comes in feeling more relaxed. She doesn't want to kill the children who are in her class at school anymore. She's deadheaded some roses instead. So there is truth. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, being a teacher of the law, and people look at him and go, but you know all this stuff. He comes to Jesus and he's looking for a truth. Jesus, says Nicodemus, is a man sent from God. Well, we know that, don't we? We all know that because we've read the whole Bible. We understand the Christmas story, all the announcements and the birth and everything else. We all know that. But Nicodemus, at that point, Jesus was just another man. But Nicodemus recognized something different in Jesus. He said, we know you have been. He didn't say, we think. He said, we know you have been sent from God because of the things you teach and because of the things that you do. We know that you have been sent from God. So there must have been something in Nicodemus's heart that was burning, that he wanted to find out more about Jesus. He says Nicodemus understood that Jesus could reveal truths that maybe he would never understand unless he got them from Jesus. And he answered, I love this, Jesus answered an unasked question. Have you ever noticed that in this story? Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God who has come from heaven. No one could perform what you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom unless they're born again. Nicodemus never mentioned anything about this. He didn't even ask a question. And yet Jesus asked the unasked question. Do you know why? Because Jesus knew what Nicodemus needed to know and needed to get an understanding of. And I'll tell you this now. Jesus knows the questions that you have. Whether you've openly asked them or not, Jesus knows the questions that you have. And if you ask him, or if you go to him and kneel before him, spend some time in his presence, he will reveal the truths. Don't rely on what people tell you. Don't rely on what I say from up here. All right? I'm just another human being. I'm just babbling. I am. All right? But go to Jesus. Jesus knows your questions. He knows how many of you have got doubts. See, nobody puts a hand up to this one, you know. I've got doubts. There are things that I question. There are things that I don't understand. And I have a few doubts. You know, Jesus, and I might not say them to you. I might not tell anybody about it. But Jesus knows I've got them. And every now and again, he'll drop something in and I'll think, oh, I don't have to ask. Jesus knows. All I have to do is go into his presence. The truth. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Well, see, Nicodemus, being a human being, probably, no, he's more intelligent than me. I've only got O levels. Right. But he immediately sees this in a physical format. And he says, how can a man be born again? How can a man go back into his mother's womb? I think his mother may have slapped him around the head if he'd have tried that. How can a man? There is no physical way. So Jesus was talking about a spiritual truth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So Nicodemus has started on this path because he's come to Jesus. And Jesus reveals this unasked question that must have been bubbling in Nicodemus's heart. And Jesus answers the question. To see the kingdom of heaven, he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's no two ways around it. You must be born again. Nicodemus says, how? Because it's beyond our understanding as mere humans. And I think this is the difference between Christians and those that are not Christians yet in the world. We understand this now. We've had an understanding of it because we've come to Jesus. We've realized that we need Jesus in our hearts. We know we need to change our lives. The world looks on and says, born again. Do you know what? When I became a Christian in the 1970s, there were lots and lots of phrases that were used then. We don't use them nowadays, but I used to call it Christianese. Did you ever speak Christianese? When you're speaking to your friends and you'll go, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, we don't talk about putting people off. You've been washed in blood, you know, or, you know, I've been redeemed. I've been saved by the blood. You know, it's this Christianese that we always used to band around, and I've been born again. Have you been born again? And your friends would step back as if you'd gone insane. What are you on about? But Jesus is revealing a spiritual truth. We have to have been born physically, otherwise we can't ask these questions. So we have to have had physical birth, what Jesus says, of water. But then we have to have a birth of the Spirit. Our spirit has to be born and come alive. And the only way we can do that is when we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, come into my life. And it's a decision that we have to make. This rebirth is beyond our understanding, but the Spirit reveals it to us. And you know what? Jesus is the answer. He's always the answer. You have a problem, go to Jesus. You have an issue going on in your life, if you're concerned, if you're worried, if you've got questions, the answer's always Jesus. Go to Jesus, because Jesus understands. Jesus will help you and he will reveal things to you. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus, will open up your ears and your heart and your mind to understand what he is doing. When you've got problems, go on, another question. How many of you have got problems? How many of you wished you had all the answers to your problems? Right. But if you did, you wouldn't be looking for anything. We have problems, and problems help us develop our characters. Problems help us to go to Jesus and to lean on Jesus and not on our own understanding. Problems lead us to the feet of Jesus. And sometimes, if we have never made that decision to be a Christian, sometimes our problems will lead us to the point where we say, Lord, I surrender to you. So thank God for your problems. Literally, thank God for your problems. Thank God through your difficulties. You don't necessarily have to thank him for them, but certainly thank him and praise him through them, because truths are revealed to us through the problems and the situations that we go through. Nicodemus was worried about how his going to Jesus was going to show up on his CV, as it were, and so he went in the dark. He went by cover of night. But Jesus is the light of the world, and Nicodemus saw the light. Nicodemus went back to his job as a Pharisee, a different person. He'd met with Jesus. He'd had the truth revealed to him. Have you been born again? I'm going to use Christianese. It's a question for each and every one of us. Have you been born again? Have you made a decision to follow Jesus? I was having a conversation. We've got a couple of new members of staff at work at the moment, and you know how I often say to us, when was the last time we led somebody to Christ? And it's a bit of a challenge to us about whether we share our story or our message. We've got she's 18. But we've got an 18-year-old has joined us. And I was talking to her yesterday, and was saying to her about being a Christian. And I said, the thing is, you can go to church all your life and never ever be a Christian. You can you can come religiously, in that word, religiously every Sunday, sit in the service, you can join, you can enjoy the praise and worship, you can have a knees up before God, you can raise your hands in worship, you can shout hallelujah, you can get excited by the message. But unless you make the decision to give your life to Christ, you're not a Christian, you're a churchgoer. And it's a religious thing that you do. You are a Christian once you say to God, I have sinned. I am a sinner and I am so sorry for what my sin caused you to do. I'm a sinner. Now, Lord, forgive me and come into my life. You make that quest, you make that statement. You then become born again. You are born in the spiritual realm and your spirit suddenly comes to life and you get truths of Scripture revealed to you. The question remains, have you been born again? I'm not, don't answer me, for you to think about. Years ago when I was a kid, we sang a song, Nicodemus came to Jesus one night long ago, and the Saviour told him something that everyone should know. If you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. And the Bible is quite clear on this. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Notice he uses the word the in every one of those statements. He doesn't say, I am a way. Jesus' way is not a possibility. Jesus' way is the way. And he then follows that by saying, no one can come to the Father except through me. And that decision you make is down to you. And I was saying to this young lady yesterday, we can make a decision to be a Christian. I can sit in my bedroom and I can pray, Lord, come into my life. That's a decision that I've made, and it's between me and God. Who else knows about it? Only people I tell. It's a private decision. I can go out and I can live my life. I don't need to tell anybody I'm a Christian, all right? But then we have a thing called baptism. We're Baptists, so you understand this to me. Believers, baptism. I don't have an issue with people being baptized or christened as children per se, but it doesn't mean anything. That's done for the parents. When you become a Christian, you choose to be baptized. And that is a public declaration of a private decision. That's when you stand up and you say to the world, hey world, I am a Christian. I am not going to be a chameleon anymore. I am going to stand out from society. And I declare today that I am born again. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus tells him that to get into heaven, you must be born again. So just to finish then with the question and leave it with you, have you been born again? So we're going to sing. Hang on, let's move on with bits of paper so I know where we are. We're going to sing, we've done Amazing Grace. God sent his son and they call him Jesus, which is because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds a future. Just because he lives, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, that calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll find my final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
I love that song. I love singing declarations that we know are true. We can face tomorrow simply because Jesus lives. And I hope you know that and you can experience that in your own lives. We're going to do some prayers for others now.
Whether you want to call it prayers for intercession or prayers for the world or whatever. But I'm doing it slightly different today. And this is normally when we were kids and our church pastor used to go, we're doing this now, we're going to do it slightly differently. And everybody in the church, oh no. I get moaned at sometimes because I don't always include the Lord's Prayer. And I've got my reasons for that, which I'll go into another time. But today we're going to do our prayers for intercession based around the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to pray it in sections. It's going to come up on the screen, and the words that come on the screen we pray together, which are the words of the Lord's Prayer. And in between each section, I'm going to pray our prayers of intercession. Okay? So let's join together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We come to you this morning as your children. We acknowledge that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Creator of all things. And we humbly bow before your throne and bring you our prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. As we come before your throne, we acknowledge your authority in and over all things. We understand that we bring you our petitions. We know that your will be accomplished. We ask that we would see your authority and your rule here on earth as it is seen in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We thank you for all that you have provided for us. And we ask for all those who are in need of food, shelter, and clothing. We ask for all those who are concerned about paying bills, keeping jobs and homes. Please provide and bring peace of mind, love, and care. We bring to you the sins of our nation, the nations of the world, and we ask that you, in your mighty love and power, grant forgiveness. We ask that you be patient with us as we seek to live in a manner to which you have called us. We pray for the leaders of nations. Grant wisdom. May they learn to live in peace with one another. Where there are wars, bring peace. Where there is greed, bring satisfaction. Where there is hatred, bring love. Where there is confusion, bring clarity. Where there is darkness, bring light. And may we find the heart to forgive those who we feel have wronged us. They've caused us hurt, pain, or emotional confusion. May we forgive them because you have forgiven us. We pray for all those now that we know who are suffering through illness or bereavement. Father God, ruler of all things, grant them peace. Surround them with your loving arms. Bring healing and comfort by your Holy Spirit. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father God, shine the light of guidance before us and lead us where you would have us go. Open our eyes to see the signs that you have placed in our paths, that we may be in the right place at the right time. Keep our hearts and minds from straying. Keep the temptations of the world are strong, but God, you are stronger. Lead us according to your plan and steer us away from evil and temptation, be that physical or in our minds. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn, just to say, you're going to have your notices. Do you want to do them now? Yeah.
Right, I'll do them very quickly. Thank you to Martin this morning. A special thank you to Martin this morning because of what he's been doing out the back. Because, as you know, Martin was an ambulance driver, so he was the obvious person to be out there helping Charles. So, thank you, Martin. You won't come again, will you? So, the March newsletter would have been available in the foyer if I'd have got them and put them out the foyer, which I didn't do, but I will get them out of the service. There will be some newsletters about. But I got distracted a bit. The usual things happening this week, house group, prayer meeting, by the Sunday morning link, coffee morning Wednesday, man cave Wednesday, and Bible study on Thursday at 2:30. On March the 29th, some forward notices, Palm Sunday, Carol is organising a creative Easter afternoon at 3:30. If you can help with that, either organise it or on the day, please see Carol. Also, just for information, the communion service on the would normally be the third Sunday, will be the fourth Sunday in March because the third Sunday is Mother's Day. So the communion service will be on the 20, whatever it is, second. And there is 5 Sundays in March. And next week's service will be taken by Dean Clark Peacey. You may finish now, sir.
What you probably all know, and neither of us have mentioned, is I think you don't pass the offering plate around anymore, but if you wanted to leave some a gift of any sort, there's a basket at the back, and there's a basket at the back. We don't sort of do a big thing about it, because people come to church, if they're visiting, they think, oh, here they go again, asking us for our money. I always say to people, you only put into the offering basket because you feel you want to give, not because you feel obliged to give. So it's there at the back if you want to use that. So we're going to finish with our final hymn, which I think is To God Be the Glory, but I've, yes, yeah. You see, I don't normally print everything out. For some reason, this week, God said, I want you to have everything printed out. And so I did this week. And then, of course, all the events of this morning happened. And isn't it amazing how God puts everything so that you don't have to worry about it? You know, so I've even got all the hymn words printed in front of me this morning. And I never do that because I've got it on my computer. I can see it from there, but, you know. But God is in control, and God knows what we need when we need it. So let's join together and sing our final hymn, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So
Father, we thank you for the message of this morning, that we must be born again. And Lord, I pray that if we haven't, then what we'll take away from this morning is enough to search for that. But also, if we have, that we will go away from this place with the understanding that that's the message we need to share with family and friends and neighbours.
And give us opportunity, Lord, to share that wonderful news that you can be born again. So be with us as we leave this place. Strengthen us and guide us. And I pray particularly you would be with Charles as they check him out at the hospital, that he'll be sent home today with no issues. We ask all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you very much for putting up with me again. And I'll see you next time I'm here.